Good morning. So glad you could join us today. We are looking at the life of David, and it's been an epic journey through an epic narrative because he lived just such an incredible life, a life beyond compare. So when David was good, you know, he was really, really good. But man, when he was bad, he was really, really bad. I mean, I got to admit, like, I've not murdered anybody, okay? So I haven't taken somebody else's wife away from, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's some pretty bad stuff. So what's the difference? Why was he so good and so bad? Why is he all over the place? I think it's probably pretty simple, and maybe you can relate to this, because sometimes he had his eyes on the shepherd. I know that when I have my eyes on Jesus, when I'm walking in the Spirit, when I feel the grace of God, man, it's almost easy. But sometimes I'm just not in that place. And then my eyes aren't on the shepherd. And I think that's what happened with David. It definitely happened with him. So today we're going to take a look at a couple of really important questions. Am I following the shepherd? Do I have my eyes on the shepherd? What are the things that take my eyes off the shepherd? And am I listening to the voice of the shepherd? Let's pray. Lord, today we want to present ourselves to you, and we want to see you. And whatever that means, it might be through Scripture, it might be in the lives of other people, but we want to see you so that we can follow you. Help us to follow the good examples that we do have around us. And help us to hear from you today. And it might just be a whisper, it might be a still small voice, but we want to hear from you today. Speak through your word, by your Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
In my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low?
Short.
believe what you say of me. I believe, oh, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, yes, I believe, I believe what you say of me. I believe.
How good of a listener are you? So before you jump and answer that, maybe you could ask somebody else later this week, maybe not right now, how good of a listener you are. How good are you at listening to the radio? Oh, I think a lot of us are pretty good at that. And sometimes when the radio is on, we don't hear anything else. Or how about TV? Oh, here's an excellent one though. How about your spouse? How good of a listener are you? Ask your spouse that question. There was this ad for a certain light beer a number of years ago, and a guy's sitting there, I think he's in a bar, at a table, and he's there with his significant other, and he's watching sports, and they're announcing, and he is trying to listen to his significant other, and he is trying to listen to what I think it was a football game, and then finally he takes the beer bottle, he hits the table, and all of a sudden his significant other is announcing the football game. Man, if you had an app that could do that, you would make a lot of money. Now, there is this spiritual device in my home, though, because I do watch sports, and I do like sports. But now built into most of our TV sets, if we're getting cable, it's a DVR, which means you can pause the sports. I hardly ever watch sports live anymore. I really don't. And so when I know that I'm 20 minutes behind or a half hour behind, you can fast forward through the commercials, it's great. But the thing I've got to be careful of is don't look at my phone in case one of my friends or somebody's going to text me and say, hey, did you see? And it's like, I don't want to see that yet. But you know, that works a whole lot better than trying to pause a person. Oh, perhaps your spouse. Try pausing that. That's not really a good idea. Much better to pause the TV. How good are you at listening to the doctor? One of the things I always say to people after they have a doctor's visit, well, I try to say it to them beforehand, try to have a second or third set of ears. Because sometimes a doctor comes into a hospital room, and sometimes you have no choice, it's just you there, and he's there for 3 minutes, and when he leaves, it's like, what did he say? You're trying to remember what the doctor said. What did she say? Sometimes it's difficult, and sometimes we hear certain words, okay? Think about it, radiation. You hear radiation, you might not hear the next paragraph. There's all sorts of words. How good are you at listening to God? Now, that's one that I think we all need to take some time and think about, and maybe not right now, but Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. Do you? Do I know the voice of Jesus? Very important to hear that. So it's one thing to hear, and it's another thing to hear and do. So after Jesus preaches his most famous, his longest sermon, we call it the Sermon on the Mount. He says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rains come in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against that house, it won't collapse, because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. Not very smart. When the rains and floods come and the winds beat against that house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. How do you think people responded to that? It's amazing. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching. Why? For he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers of religious law. I can still remember this one chapel speaker at Bible college who said like 9 times, I've said all of that to say this. I've said all of that to say this. And in the end, I don't know what he said. At the very end, I don't think he ever got out what it was that he was trying to get across. Let's take a look at John chapter 10. We're going to get to the life of David. We're going to get to the words of David, especially this morning. But David talks about the whole thing about being a shepherd. Well, so did Jesus. Jesus talked about it. In John chapter 10, verses 6 through 11. See, sometimes people hear, but they don't understand. Jesus had just laid out some really cool stuff for them in the first part of this chapter. And then it says verse 6, and I'm sure a lot of us identify with this. Those who heard Jesus use this illustration didn't understand what he meant. They're like, huh? What? I don't get it. So he explained it to them. I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers. But the true sheep did not listen to them. Yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pastures. I shared this last week, but it bears repeating. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Self-interest and no interest for the sheep. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. And then moving ahead to verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me, just as my Father knows me, and I know the Father. So I sacrifice my life for the sheep. Earlier, he said that my sheep know my voice. That's one of the things that they just didn't understand. They just weren't tracking with that. So let me just say this about the authority of Scripture. I know that a lot of people wrestle with the Bible. And they're just like, well, is it or isn't it the Word of God? Because if it is, it's a huge authority and it speaks to us. But if you're on the fence today, I would encourage you to take God's Word up as God's Word. That's what I did about 46 years ago. I just decided I'm going to give it a shot. If it really is, awesome. If it isn't, I think I'll be able to figure it out. My story, after studying it for all these decades, is it's exactly what it claims to be. But if you never come to that point, you'll never really be able to hear from God. But once we do hear from God through Scripture, it simplifies our life. I'm not saying it makes it easy, but we know the direction we want to go in. So sheep know the shepherd's voice. If you've got three shepherds, three flocks, you can put them in the same sheepfold overnight, and in the morning, the three shepherds can go three different ways, and then just call out for their sheep, and their sheep know them. They're not going to listen to somebody else. They know the shepherd's voice. And they've come to understand that that shepherd cares for them. That shepherd feeds them. He takes care of them. We talked about that last week. We're going to talk about it more this week. Let me ask you something. What voices do you listen to? We live in a world where there's all kinds of voices vying for our attention. I mean, there's just so many times where there's just noise. I mean, think about it. We take it for granted, the fact that when we're driving our car, we can be listening to the radio. You can be listening to TV if you have Sirius XM. You can be listening to music. I mean, back in the day, people only had music when they were with people that had instruments that were playing music way back in the day. Now, no matter where you go, I think I've said it before, that there's people at the health club. I've never had a chance to say hello to them because they've always got AirPods in, so they couldn't hear me. We kind of live in our own little world. What voices do we listen to? In the book of Genesis, the serpent comes on the scene. And as Don Francisco calls him in his brilliant song, Adam, Where Are You? The master of deception. The master of deception now begins with his dissection of the word. Did God really say? It's the first words that we get. And isn't that what a lot of people are asking? Did God really say? Did God? Who's behind that? We've got a spiritual enemy. It begins with deception. He lies to us about our identity. He lies to us about who we really are. First of all, that we're created in the image of God, and then in Christ, we become His children. So, life isn't easy. I'd love to tell you today, I found this new verse in the Bible, and if you just believe it, life's going to be easy. And if I was a televangelist, then maybe I'd say, believe it and send something to West Hills Community Church. No, that's not how it works. And let me say this, there's a lot of good televangelists out there, but there have been some that were not so good. So let's take a look at Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Sheep didn't always just stay in one place. It was seasonal. Why? Because they'd eat up all the pasture in one place. And then the shepherd was going to have to take them on this difficult sojourn. That's why I'm saying life isn't easy for people. It wasn't easy. It isn't easy for sheep. They've got to trust the shepherd as they go down this narrow mountain path. I mean, they could fall down into the valley, and then it would be not just the shadow of death, it would be death. But there's a trust that they're going to be okay if they stick with the shepherd, if they follow the shepherd. I remember the first time I went to the Grand Canyon, I saw these signs. Do not hike to the bottom, to the river, the Colorado River, and out in a day. Don't do it. And I remember reading accounts that there are people that die essentially every year. They have like a body temperature of like 109, and they are dead. They're 106, they're dead. What they don't do is they don't drink the fluids that they need. They didn't prepare for it. So years ago, I made it to the bottom and out. I had some trouble. Talked about it, I think, last week. Had some trouble on the way out. Figured out how to do it. And now I have led at least three times, maybe four or five, where I've led people down to the river and out in a day. But with the proper preparation, with the proper fluids, with the electrolytes and all of those things. See, we need somebody who's been there before, and that's why we can trust the shepherd. The sheep trust the shepherd because they knew that he was smarter than they were. He was ahead of them in every way. And you know, along the sojourn, what's really cool when you're out hiking is to be able to encourage other people. You're almost there. You're getting close. Just this part gets easier up ahead. There's all kinds of stuff that you can speak if you've been there. If you have life experience, whether it's in good areas or really difficult ones, there are people that need to be mentored by you. They need to hear from you the experience that you have. And it says here that I will fear no evil. Now, some people say, well, there is no evil, so why would you fear it? Ron Reagan, not Ronald, but former President Ronald Reagan's son, Ron, who's a year older than I am. I remember seeing him on TV, I don't know, somewhere around the 90s, and someone was interviewing him. And he's an atheist now. I was just looking at some stuff online. I couldn't find the exact quote, but I heard him say it. Somebody said, but what if you encountered some kind of evil? Somebody knocked on your door. And he just kind of goes off. He goes, that's your reality. It's not mine. I don't believe in evil. You know what? I've seen some stuff on TV and heard some stuff on the radio. Some things that happened in Memphis recently. I mean, it's just evil. I don't know how you could describe it any other way. It's evil. Do you know that the word evil is live spelled backwards? It's totally against living. It's totally against life. It might look tempting at a certain point, but we don't have to fear evil. Why? Because we have a shepherd. Now, my spiritual enemy is stronger than I am. But greater is he who dwells within me than he who dwells in the world. That's what the Apostle John wrote in his first epistle, chapter 4, verse 4. Whatever you are facing, you are not alone. That's what it says, for you are with me. You might be going through a divorce, but you're not alone. You may be experiencing loss, profound loss in your life. But I want to encourage you today, you are not alone. You might have financial issues, you might be unemployed. But you don't go through it alone. If you can grab a hold of that, I truly believe that'll help you. I do. I wish life was easier. I used to kind of think growing old, you know, the only question is what kind of rocking chair to buy and sit in. And I'll be honest, I think life gets crazier and crazier the older that I get. But you know what? I'm not alone. So let's talk about the flock. When you think of sheep, you think of a flock. That's not what David saw. See, David saw individual sheep. If you're a shepherd, you actually know who the sheep are. Jesus, he doesn't just see a crowd. He sees individuals. Do you know what? Whether you're the shepherd of sheep or a shepherd of people, you know people's names, you know their stories. I know I don't know every story, but I am often so moved in preaching, and that's one of the things that has made this difficult for me. I have an idea of some people that are watching, but I can't see you. But I know stories. I know histories on people. Jesus certainly does. You know, to some, it's just kind of like, oh, the sheep all look the same. The people all look the same. I may have just told this story recently too, but if I can't remember, I trust some of you won't either. But I was in Hong Kong. We were carrying Bibles into China. It was 1988. And I'd just been there for a couple days and I had a visa and I heard that I had to get a new visa. I couldn't go in to China that day. I had to stay in Hong Kong. I had to bring some paperwork over. I'd already given them photos for that first visa. I didn't realize I needed more photos, and I didn't have time. This young lady, I think she was from Singapore, she goes, wait a second. opens up the desk drawer. She's got a bunch of the little like passport, like visa photos in there. And she finds one. She goes, "This looks like you." And I look at it. "No, it does not. That doesn't look anything like me." She goes, "Yes, it does." And I thought, well, if it's good enough to fool her, a mustache and glasses. Other than that, I didn't think it looked anything like me. Let me suggest to you that if you were trying to get into heaven with a visa and you had somebody else's photo on it, you wouldn't fool Jesus. He knows your face. Jesus knows everything about you. Even if you haven't revealed it to him, he already knows it. I love what it says in Isaiah chapter 49, verse 16. And this is Old Covenant. Isaiah 49, 16 says this. "See, I have written your name in the palms of my hands." Scripture says that God has written your name in the palms of his hand. I often wonder, and I think a lot of people do, is that tied in with the scars that are on Jesus' hands and wrists? Is that what he thinks of when he looks at the scars? Does he see your name there? But he knows you by name. But you know, our identity is under attack. We have great value to God, but there's all sorts of things in our society today that say that we don't have value. I was texting two different people this week, just reminding them of what their identity. Somebody had just gone through something really difficult. Somebody else who's been in a battle with cancer found out that they're cancer-free. That's awesome. But sometimes we just kind of think, we start believing the lies that, you know, I just evolved from an amoeba in some primordial soup. And it's like, no, that's not what the Bible says. It says you're created in God's image. And it goes further. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "See how very much our Father loves us." So you are loved by God. Let that soak in. It doesn't say, "For the Father loves us when we are good." It says that he loves us. "For he calls us his children, and that is what we are." We're God's children. We need a reminder of that. I do. I certainly do. Let's read the next verse. Psalm 23, verse 5. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." My cup runs over. Excuse me. Okay, table. A lot of times when they were going to this other place in spring or summer, they would have to go find another pasture. Often it would be high because they would go to a higher elevation where it'd be a little bit cooler and where they could find some grass. It was like a table or a mesa. Mesa means table in Spanish, or a plateau. It was a high place. And there, it was new turf. It needed preparation. It wasn't like it was all ready to go. The shepherd had to prepare the meal for his sheep. And the enemies might be around. There might be some coyotes. There might be some wolves, some lions, some bears, whatever it might be. But he's got his rod and his staff. He's got his staff to kind of sometimes encourage some sheep along, and he's got his rod to protect them from protect his sheep. The sheep are dependent. We as people, a lot of times, don't like to acknowledge that we are dependent, but we are. And I love what it says in Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6, verse 34, it reads as follows. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat. Just imagine, they wanted to be in a quiet place. They wanted to be alone. But now he sees this huge crowd as he's getting out of the boat. And it doesn't say he was annoyed by them because he wanted to get away from the crowds. No, he was Jesus, and even though he wanted some quiet time with his disciples, he had compassion on them. Why? Why did he have compassion on them? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd, so he began teaching them many things. Sheep without a shepherd, they didn't know where they were going. They didn't have anyone to depend on. They didn't have someone who's going to give them green pastures, lead them beside quiet waters, protect them from evil. That was their predicament. They're sheep without a shepherd. I can't tell you how many times I've turned on my TV and there's been a school shooting. And I've worked in student ministry for the better part of three decades, over 25 years. And we're actually going to be restarting the youth group here next month. Excited about that. When I see students running out of a high school, more than once I've just wept. because they're like sheep without a shepherd. So many of these students are told things that are wrong about their own identity. They believe things that are not true, taught so many lies that they're a cosmic accident. None of God's creations, not to the worst sinner, none of us is a cosmic accident. I was just reading something today that the odds of us being here, if you were to take all of the DNA from all of the people that have ever lived and all of the combinations that could have happened, there's billions and billions and trillions of other combinations that could have happened. But the fact that the DNA came together for me to be here, to have a shot at life, it is a gift. Jesus wants, as he has compassion on a crowd, he wants them to understand their true identity. He wants to give them direction. It says that he taught them many things. And the other thing that Jesus, as the good shepherd, and I love that in 1 Peter 5:4, it refers to him as the great shepherd of our souls, he provides protection. But Jesus was moved with compassion, and we should as well when we look around us and we realize that there are people that just don't understand the love of God. It says, you anoint my head with oil. There's a number of things that a shepherd would do with oil. And I learned some things in prepping today. There's a book I read by Philip Keller many years ago. And I looked up some of that online. It's a shepherd looks at the 23rd Psalm. They would anoint the ground because there'd be these little brown snakes, these adders, and they would bite the sheep. And so if they put oil around, a circle of oil around there, it hindered the snakes from being able to come out of the hole. Do you know what the biggest killer is on planet Earth? I forget where I heard this, but I heard it recently. Mosquitoes. Mosquitoes kill more people than anyone else. I had malaria almost 40 years ago. I wouldn't wish it on anybody. I survived it by the grace of God, but there's a lot of children that don't. Well, mosquitoes and gnats and there's these nose flies, they pose a huge problem for sheep. Well, I know I want to preach you good news, and you tuned in to hear good news. Here's a little bad news. Do you know how many mosquitoes there are in the world? It's in the trillions, and it comes out to there's about 16,000 mosquitoes for each person. I know, right now you're like, I wanted some, that's not good news. And if you want to see a lot of them, go to Great Sand Dune National Park in Colorado. At least when I was there, my goodness, we were like an off, living off commercial. It was horrible. Okay. But the nose fly, I'd never heard of a nose fly. I want to share something from, I want to give Max a shout out for Safe in the Shepherd's Arms. Share some stuff that he picked up. I think he picked it up from Philip Keller as well. So we don't think too much about flies or anything, but you know, these nose flies, they deposit their eggs in the membrane of the sheep's nose. I know that's kind of gross, but the eggs become like worm-like larvae, which drive the sheep crazy. One shepherd explains, for relief from this agonizing annoyance, sheep will deliberately beat their heads against trees, rocks, posts, or brush. In extreme cases of intense infestation, a sheep may even kill itself in a frenzied endeavor to gain respite from the aggravation. And so what does the shepherd do? He anoints their noses with oil. It keeps the smell and it keeps the nose flies away. Another thing that he'll do is in mating season, some of the rams, you know, they want to compete over the one they want to mate with. So they'll get their horns going and so he anoints their horns with oil so they'll slip off. Because, you know, all the rams are saying, I want you, baby. If you got that joke and you like it, you can credit it to me. If you don't like it, I got it from Max Lucado. I want you, baby. All right. Oil is also to heal sheep when there's wounds. I mean, they can't bandage themselves, but that's what the shepherd does. He looks over the whole flock and he's like, man, that one's got an abrasion. And, oh, it's no big deal. It might heal on its own, but it might get infected. So even though it's just a small thing, the shepherd takes care of it because that's who he is. That's what he does. And Jesus, the great shepherd, he cares about the small cuts in your life too. The small disappointments. You didn't get the job. You didn't get the promotion. You didn't get the relationship that you were hoping for. So many things. Do you know one of the things about working with youth and adults over the years, for so many, it's kind of like, man, for like 20 days, you know, some teenager's been wrestling with something, and I'm not saying it's not significant, But then you talk to adults and they've been wrestling with something for 20 years. And that's where it starts to affect our identity, is when we deal with stuff for so long. Hurts, wounds, they can start as small, but they can fester, they can grow, they can become huge. So sheep sometimes would beat their heads, right? I can remember a couple students back in the day. I'd be in my office talking to somebody, and when I heard this pounding on the wall, I knew which two students were sitting on the floor pounding their head against the wall. I'm like, stop, I will be with you. There's their way of reminding me this. It helps us to feel better. I'm like, it may short term, but eventually. That's not a good strategy. I love what Rich Mullen says in his song, Hold Me Jesus. And I've beat my head against so many walls, and now I'm falling down, I'm falling on my knees. Friends, sometimes it might not be because of nose flies infestation, but we beat our heads against walls, we just keep making the same mistakes over and over again. So you know what? Jesus wants to anoint you today. If David as a shepherd cared enough to go over and anoint the sheep and to take care of them, don't you think that Jesus, the great shepherd, don't you think he cares about what you might think is a small thing or big thing? I love what it says in Psalm 147, verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted. Jesus does. He bandages their wounds. Jesus wants to do that for you right now. I'm still going to be preaching here, but like right now, just cry out to Jesus. Say, you know what? That's me. I've got a broken heart. I've got some stuff. I've got some wounds. Maybe nobody else sees it, but Jesus does, and he can heal. You know, the sheep didn't understand how the oil worked, but they trusted the shepherd. You don't have to understand how it works, but cry out to the Lord. He wants to anoint you today with his healing oil, his healing balm. I love that it says here, my cup runs over. That's such a cool expression. My cup runs over. Enough? No, this is more than enough. Many years ago, my brother Rick had gone through some big life changes. He wasn't a Christ follower yet. He was down in Tecate, Mexico, and he was playing this little card game, and they had a cup of chips, and I mean, it wasn't for money, it was just for chips. But he was running out, and he's being kind of a silly guy. He goes, my cup runneth under. Well, he meets this girl, her name's Melanie, and she says, my cup runneth over. And she knew Jesus. She invited him to that's when Rick became a Christ follower. I saw the change in my brother's life. Big time change. What we figured out probably over a year later was the very night that he received Christ, I prayed for the first sincere prayer of my life, and I asked Jesus to reveal himself to me. The very same night that 2,000 miles away in Mexico, my brother received Christ. Can't make that stuff up. I love what it says in John 1:16. My cup runs over is what the psalmist says, is what David says. But here's what it says about the good news that Jesus brings. In John chapter 1, verse 16, it says this, from his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. Another version says, blessing upon blessing, grace upon grace. Cup runneth over. Good news, absolutely great news. So I didn't know about this ancient custom. But when it comes to hospitality, so if you're at somebody's house and if they keep serving you wine, it means they want you to stay. So long as you've got some wine in your glass, they want you to stay. When the wine stops, it's like a not so subtle hint. Time for you to go to your house. Time for you to leave. It's kind of like they're turning off the light. If you're at somebody's house and they turn off the lights and they go to bed, that is a clue. You are now supposed to leave their house. But if you were an extra special guest, they wouldn't just fill your cup to the top. They'd fill it so that it overflowed. It was their way of saying, like, you can stay forever. You are so welcome here. Gracious hospitality. That's what God gives us. I mean, so many things he didn't have to do. When I think of hospitality, I often think of my wife. She has a gift of hospitality. I think I actually have a gift of hospitality, but it kind of, people don't notice it as much, and it's totally fine with me. My therapist says I'm really almost over that I really am. I'm kind of fine with that. But from the time that I was a teenager, Do you know what put me on the social map when I was a teenager? Other people had parties. I'd had some parties, but right before junior year started, I had an island that was pretty close to my house, and I had an island party. I mean, sophomore year, I was not too socially active. Junior year, I was, and I always think it kind of goes back to the whole island party thing. But you know what? Hospitality, food is great and everything, but it's really making people feel loved, accepted, welcome, letting people know, I want you to be here. And there's all sorts of ways we can communicate that. And you might think that, well, it's not that important. You know, it's not, that's not like a spirit. Hospitality is not being hospitable. That's not spiritual. Well, look up what Paul writes to Timothy in chapter 3, verse 2 of his first epistle in the NIV. Do you know one of the prerequisites for the highest level of spiritual leadership is he must be hospitable. People that are going to be at the highest level of leadership have to be hospitable. They have to be willing to give of themselves to make other people feel at home. God is a lavish giver, grace upon grace, blessing upon blessing. If I were God, I would have figured it out. Oh, I can make a fish. Oh, I can make a bird fly. Oh, I can make a mammal. There's a squirrel. I would have had one lake, one ocean, maybe 10 trees. But think, wow, I'm going to put a star up here. No, God puts billions of stars. You get my point. God just goes overboard with everything. I mean, there's nobody who's seen all of the plant life on planet Earth. No one who's seen all of the animal life on planet Earth. God is lavish. So what's hunting you down? What follows you wherever you go? Bill collectors? IRS? Other scams? I love what verse 6 in the first part says. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's what's hunting you down. God's goodness and mercy is following you. Some of you are like, what? Yeah, that's what it says. Now, some of us see it and some of us don't. Gratitude, having the eyes of gratitude, helps us to see it. David knew it because he knew how much he loved his sheep, and he just equated it. That if he cared about the sheep, how much more does God care about him? You know, and animals know when you care. I remember I'd come home from my first mission trip. New addition to the home. We had a dog. His name was Buddy. He was a good dog. But somehow there was two other people in the house. The first morning, like, you know, 4:45, he's got to go out in the backyard. He sticks his cold nose in the middle of my back. And from then on, I was the one that got up in the morning to let him out. Animals know when you care. So when does this goodness and mercy follow us? Only on Tuesdays. It goes along with Taco Tuesdays. No, that's not what it says. All the days of my life, all the days of your life, God wants to hunt you down with his goodness and his mercy. All the days. And I love that it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow. If not, maybe, perhaps, occasionally. No, surely. All the days of your life. Well, friends, we've all experienced the valley with the shadow of death in it. We've walked through death with other people. But someday it'll be the real deal. It won't be the shadow. But what the Word of God tells us is that surely goodness and mercy will follow you until then. But then, here's what it says. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I never really noticed it before, that one is for the duration of this life. And then we won't need goodness and mercy to follow us anymore, because we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Have you ever been in a really cool house? Oh, Heidi's uncle had a really cool house. My cousin has a really cool house. I know some. Every once in a while, I'm like, wow. Or I see a house going up, huge windows. I think that is really cool. This is God's house. Whatever we've seen here doesn't compare. I mean, White House, forget about it. Some palace, wherever, this, and we live in the palace. You know, we often think about kind of condos and things like that, and Heidi will do something. I'll be like, man, you know, I hope I can visit you. You're going to have a nice view. I'm going to be way down low. You're going to be up high. The fact of the matter is, we're going to be in God's house. And even if it wasn't extra special like that, it's his house. He's going to be there. We won't need goodness and mercy following us anymore, because we'll be in the presence of all the goodness in the universe. I love that it says that it's forever. You don't have to sign a lease every year. You don't. The rates aren't going to go up. You don't need a mortgage, and the property taxes aren't going to go up. Just let that sink in just for a little bit. We'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So friends, you ever get homesick? It's okay. God understands that. One day you'll be home. In Ecclesiastes, it says that he has planted eternity. He's placed eternity in our hearts. We know that though our life ends, we yearn for another world. One day we'll get there. So I encourage you, friends, to listen to the shepherd's voice. One day everyone will hear the shepherd's voice. To many people, it will be a strange voice. And sadly, that may be the only time they ever hear it on that one occasion. But for you, friend, today, listen to his voice, and someday you'll hear it again, and it'll just be the same voice, but it'll be crystal clear, and you will hear that voice in your Father's house forever. Let's pray. Lord, I pray for anyone who's not in relationship with Jesus. I pray that today, apart from anything that I've said or because of it, it doesn't matter, but by your Spirit, I pray that they would invite Jesus to come into their life the same way my brother Rick did in Mexico and I did about 9 months later. Show yourself to each person who seeks you. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave. My mother's womb, you have chosen me. Love has called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child. Walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I could stand and sing. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear.
a child of God.
So glad you could join us. Take some time this week. Read Psalm 23. Meditate on it. You are loved by God. You are so valued by God. I pray that every day this week that you would know it. Have a great week.